Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Hello, dear friends. We talk every day, so I think of you as my friends. I hope that is okay with you. Friends who seek God together. This is indeed a precious time each and every weekday. As you will remember if you were with us last time, we are looking hard into Satan's temptation through the serpent to Eve in the garden in Eden. And today we are going to move in Genesis 3 from verse 3 down to verses 4 and 5. But just before we get to verse 4, I want to make some comments to fill in the white space between verses 3 and 4. So let me read the text and let's get going. Listen again to Genesis 3 verses 1b to 3. I pick up the reading at the second half of verse 1 and continue to the end of verse 3. This is Genesis chapter 3. The serpent said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" As we leave verse 3 and move on to verse 4, the dialogue switches. We have been listening to Eve respond to the serpent for two verses now. But in verse 4, the serpent speaks again. Before we read what it says, I just want to make an observation about Eve and an observation about Satan. My observation on the first woman is this: she has already begun to doubt God. The Genesis, the beginning of Eve's sin, is in Genesis 3, verses 2 and 3. By talking to the serpent, she falls right into the arms of Satan. This is what he wants. If Satan can get anyone to doubt God, well, then he's well on his way to winning over a person's soul. If he can make it so that there forms in the human mind hesitation when it comes to who God is, if he can make us suspicious of God, then he has an opening, a way through which he can command his demonic army to successfully attack us. I hate to see the uncertainty that is formed in Eve's mind when it comes to what God has actually commanded she and her husband. We have looked at that the last few broadcasts and podcasts, and in the transition between verses 3 and 4, I want to remind you of it. Eve has begun to doubt God. My observation on Satan as he speaks through the serpent is this: his approach to us is similar to his approach to Eve. What he is so good at is enticing us to listen to him. Satan lures us. He is very attractive. It's always something beautiful, not ugly. But Satan is like the hunter who sets the trap for the wild animal. Let's take a fox. Oh, they are such gorgeous creatures, aren't they? The hunter has set out the bait, sugar-coated vegetables. Fox love very sweet foods. They're like many of us in that way. Mr. Hunter has dropped carrots and honey and left them out there deep in the woods. Along strolls Mrs. Fox. She sniffs at the bait. Such sweet carrots. Those will taste so good. I am hungry. Something tells the animal to back off. This just does not feel right. Ah, but the sugar smells delicious. She takes a small step, then steps again. Snap! Down she falls, right into the trap. The honey-soaked carrots are gone, and so is her freedom. In Genesis 3, verse 1, Satan sets the trap and puts out the bait. In verses 2 and 3, Eve walks right into the trap, and in verses 4 and 5, it slams shut all around this first woman. Suddenly, the sweetness of Satan in verse 1 is replaced with the barbed wires of a cage. Satan was subtle in verse 1, but in verses 4 and 5, he turns wickedly bold. As Calvin writes, he seizes upon Eve's doubt and exalts himself petulantly and with proud confidence against God. With this in mind, let's read Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, "The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Okay, friends, there is a lot of content in just these two verses that is absorbing to the mind set on God. What I want to do in the limited time we have is to draw out what I have prayerfully considered to be the most pertinent to us. I'll leave out quite a bit so as to keep us moving, but I do ask for your attention to the Word of God here as we consider what Satan says in his proud confidence against God. We will need several days to do this, so stay tuned. First, in verse 4, consider with me this lie: "You surely will not die." In this all-time great deceit, Satan feeds not only Eve and Adam, but us also, frankly, all of us, the false teaching that God will not bring judgment on us. Derek Kidner writes, "The first doctrine to be denied is judgment." The first doctrine, or the first teaching, found repeatedly within the pages of the Bible, the first doctrine to be denied is judgment. God had promised his swift judgment on Adam and Eve if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Listen to what the Lord said. I'm reading Genesis 2, 17. "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Notice the emphasis that we have recently discussed, "will surely die." That is promised judgment from God to these first persons. Eat from this tree and you will surely die. But this is what Satan denies. Borrowing God's word, surely, a word Eve had left out, the serpent exclaims, "You surely will not die." That is judgment denied. But if God is anyone, then God is judge. God is our judge. You are listening to God Is, and God is judge. Here are just a small sampling of text from the Bible that affirmed the judgment of God as right and true. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 8 says, "And God will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity." Psalm 50 verse 6, "God himself is judge." Psalm 75 verse 7, "God is the judge." And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, Paul describes God as the Lord, the righteous judge. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 holds these always sobering words: "It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." That's Hebrews 9, 27, and you ought to have that memorized. Every person is born, lives, dies, and faces the judgment of God on his or her life. This is the truth. You may not want to hear it. You may not like hearing it. Perhaps you think that this life is all there is and that at the end of it, you will cease to exist. Poof. You are obliterated. A friend was recently sharing the good news with her dad, the news that Jesus has come to rescue us from our sins, and her father scolded her. "In the end, we're just worm food," he derisively said. What a sad, but worse, false picture of what happens to us in the millisecond of our death. What this man was recently articulating was that there is no judgment. It is silly or dumb to believe in God, to trust in Christ, because there is no existence after this life. There is no eternal life. This was hard for my friend to hear because she believes the Bible, and in the Bible, God is judge. Judgment is as sure as the existence of God. But Satan still tells his lie, and people, by the countless millions, persist in believing the devil. That just shows us how the painful ramifications of the trap Eve has fallen into, as one by one, men and women follow her right down into it, this very day and night. Oh, if you tune in today, just at this very moment, and you do not believe God will judge you, I urge you to please believe what God Himself has promised. It is appointed for you to die once, and after this comes your judgment. Do not take my word for it, but hear God say it to you. In Genesis 2, God said, "You will surely die." In Genesis 3, Satan said, "You surely will not die." God tells the truth. Satan tells the lie. Who do you believe? This is the one decision you have to get right. Really, this is it. Out of all the decisions you have made in life, you better get this one correct. If God is to be believed, He will judge you. If Satan is to be believed, God will not judge you. Which is it? What do you think? Is God right or is Satan right? I hope you will seriously consider what is true. I plead with you to take this seriously. And I hope you will join me for more tomorrow, when we meet right back here for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.